Today we're going to continue on with this sermon series that we've been doing, though, when things don't go according to plan. And today we're going to talk a little bit about disappointment. Anybody ever struggle with disappointment at all in their life? Okay. The reality is we're disappointed by a lot of things. We're disappointed by events. We're disappointed by things. But I think by far the thing that we get most disappointed in is people. And so today we're going to take a look at Moses, because he was an authority on how to deal with disappointing people. And that's what we're going to take a look at him this morning, because if you're going to make it in this life, we've got to learn how to deal with this disappointment thing, because it keeps happening, right? We set expectations, they don't get met, and we're disappointed. In fact, the Bible teaches three very, very important truths when it comes to dealing with the disappointments in our lives and to give us a perspective of how to deal with it and to move on. But before I start all that, I just want to share this main thing. The whole theme of this message today is simply this: don't quit, right? As you're going through life, don't quit. Keep on going. Keep on keeping on. Because the things that you're most disappointed in today can often be the things just days later, right? Or just a little bit down the road that all of a sudden turn around in the most incredible ways. So Moses, what can we learn from him? Moses was an authority in how to deal with disappointment. No man, in fact, put up with more disappointment and more complaining and disappointing and in the people complaining than Moses did. It seemed like it was the favorite pastime of the Israelites. I mean, they had just gotten through the Red Sea, just gotten freed from Egypt, when all of a sudden they started this whole thing of complaining again and again and again how things weren't going right. It was the sin, this idea of complaining, that kept them in the promised land for 40 years. Now, think about what that is, complaining. What are you doing? Are you showing trust in God or distrust in God? Whenever we complain, we're generally showing a distrust that he's got us, right? Distrust that he's working things according to our good because we love him. Distrust that he's got us, that he sees, that he knows, that he's aware, that, and we get distrustful toward him, and we start complaining about the world around us and about the people around us, and we start blaming other people because we can't control it, and somebody must be able to control it, and so we get in this cycle of complaining and victimization and blaming. It was the very sin that kept them in the promised land for the 40 years because they refused to just trust God that he had them. And one of their marks, it seems, is that they were always very quick to criticize their leader. The philosophy was, when in doubt, criticize the leader, which sounds a lot like today. If you don't believe me, turn on the news. They questioned his motives. They doubted his decisions. They challenged his leadership. It seems every step of the way. Sound familiar? Doesn't even matter the political figure you're talking about. It could be any one of them, and we do this to them over and over and over. One day, the Israelites were having a problem with water. First, they had too much water, right? They were walking through the Red Sea. There was water on each side. They could have, if they were hungry, grabbed one of the fishies and started eating it. I don't know, but they realized they had so much water, and God parted it so that they could walk through, so they could be freed from the Egyptians. A few days later, they were struggling with no water. They were walking through the Sinai Desert where there was no water at all. They were looking, but there was no water to be found, and they started getting thirsty. And then they started getting crabby, and then they started complaining. And then finally, they come to some water, and they get their buckets, and they start to draw the water, and all of a sudden, they realize that it's bitter. Nothing quite like that, right? You're searching, and you're searching for something, and finally, you think you've got it, and it turns out not to be it. And then we come to the place in the text. In verse 23, it says, when Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled into the desert without finding any water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. Marah means bitter. Now, I don't want to undersell this problem. This is a huge problem. They've got, 3 million people. They've got another million animals with them, right, that they've been walking with them through this whole period of time. 3 million plus a million animals walking through the Red Sea, now walking through the desert looking for some water. God's leading them the whole way, pillar of fire, right? They're following him, but they're thirsty, and their animals are thirsty, and they're wondering, when in the world are they going to find the water? Then they get to the place where there is water, and they can't even drink it. But I want you to notice the thing that kind of goes unnoticed as you read through that, and it says 3 days. What happened just 3 days before? Anybody? They had just walked through the Red Sea. just for perspective, in a second, they had just seen the God of hosts, right? Work in his in miraculous ways, in all of his power. They just seen the 10 plagues of Egypt. Now there's a whole sea in front of them. They were trapped, and he just opened it up, and they just walked through. It was incredible. They were blown away by it. They walked through, and then, as if just to kind of show off a little bit, God brings back the water over the Egyptian army that's pursuing them, so destroying the Egyptian army at the same time. He gave them an incredible relief. He gave them an incredible freedom. It was the most amazing thing any of them could ever comprehend. One of the most amazing miracles in all of Scripture. It set his people apart once and for all in front of the most powerful nation in the world. It was incredible 3 days ago. Now, I know there's a lot of studies that say that you forget everything that you hear on Sunday morning by Wednesday, which is 3 days. But still, I'm just saying, that's a lot of stuff just to kind of forget. But things hadn't gone according to plan since then. They'd walked through the desert. You know, they know they're going to the promised land. God's leading them. But first day without water, I guess it's the desert, you know. Second day without water, all right, it's the desert. But, you know, God eventually is going to give us some water, right? Third day, and they stumble upon Mara, and it seems like that's when all their frustrations just let loose. They just come through the great Red Sea. It was an amazing miracle. They were on top of the world. Not only 3 days later, everything had gone wrong. But in this, God says he teaches us some things about how to overcome the disappointments of life, how to keep on keeping on through the difficulty to get to the good stuff. Again, remember, I'll just give you this as we talk through this. God is leading them. There's a purpose for what they're going through. And so as we take a look at this, these three great truths that we're going to learn today, one of the first ones is this. Great successes are often followed by failures. Just look, take a look back at your life, and some of the greatest moments of your life have these aftermaths, these valleys that you go through. And sometimes it's not failure, but sometimes it's depression, sometimes it's fatigue, sometimes it's coming back to the realities of life and trying to figure it out. But here the Israelites, they're wondering, what's gone wrong? I mean, if God loves them, they had just seen God love them in powerful ways. But if God still loved them, then why were they still thirsty? Why wasn't he giving them water? Why was he teasing him at Marah with this bitter water? We find the answer to that in verse 25. It says, there the Lord tested them. And it's true, isn't it? God's character is often revealed in the big crises of life. But our character is often revealed in the little crises of life. God showed his power at the Red Sea, freeing them from the Egyptians. It was an incredible thing that nobody would ever forget, except 3 days later, right? But it's in the little things. It was in the being thirsty. It was in the disappointment that the waters were bitter at Marah that you begin to really see what's going on inside of us. And that's true. Disappointments are just tests. They're testing our character. They're testing what we're really like on the inside. Do we really trust God, or are we going to give up at the second's notice, right? Just because things aren't going our way. You can tell by how much you complain about stuff. Are you trusting God, or are you getting caught up in the moment? Are you trusting God and have peace, or are you getting fatigued and stressed and anxious about the moment? They're testing what we're really like on the inside. Notice it doesn't say this about the Red Sea. That was all God, that was all power, that was all miracle. God was showing you how much he loves you. But at Marah, the Israelites were dealing with a test and they were failing miserably. They complained, they lost hope in God. It says they griped a lot. And so let me ask you this, what does disappointment reveal about you? What is your Marah this morning? The answer is really is your Marah is anything that's distasteful to you. Maybe it was once sweet, but somehow it's turned bitter. Maybe it was a job, a relationship, a problem. So let me just say this. Great successes in life are often followed by failure. Another thing we pick up in the story is this, that great services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. In verse 24 says, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Again, Israel's got a short memory. What happened just 3 days earlier? Walked through the Red Sea, saw God caring for them in ways they couldn't even comprehend. 3 days later, they've forgotten everything. I think that's kind of typical. It's typical that when we're facing a problem, we're dealing with the stresses of the moment, that we forget all that God's done for us in the past. I think it's typical when we're facing a difficulty in the moment Right? We think God's not going to help us. Even though if we could just take a step back, we could remember again and again and again and again of all the ways that God has come through for us in the past. It's amazing how quickly we forget. It's human nature. What have you done for me lately, God? I mean, the last 2 days, because 3 days ago was pretty cool. Children forget their parents. Bosses forget their employees. Spouses take each other for granted. Great services, often forgotten. So you're going to do things for people in this life, just know it, and they're going to forget about it. And you're going to be disappointed that they forget about it. Why won't they just trust me? Why won't they just come to me? I don't get it. So what do? Well, you don't rehearse it because that doesn't do any good. It just allows you to relive the moment thousands of times. That's not helpful at all. You don't nurse it because that just keeps it with you forever. You don't even try to get even because that just complicates your life in all sorts of different ways. And so what does God say that we should do? We should disperse those moments. That's what Moses did. Dispersing, it means just giving it to God, letting go and letting God. It says this, cast all your cares upon God, Jesus says. You don't hang on to it. In verse 25, it says, then Moses cried out to the Lord and he showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in the water and the water became sweet. Notice the first half of that verse, Moses cried out to the Lord. That's where you're supposed to go with your frustrations. God, help me. Just think about that word help. We don't say it a whole lot as we go through life, but when's the last time you just said, help? I can't do this. Help. I need you. I need you to come through now. Help. God so often just wants us to cry out to him with those words, help. I need you, Lord. I need your power. I need your comfort. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need you to come through and answer this prayer. Help. That's what Moses did. He cried out to the Lord. He didn't write a letter to the editor. He didn't say, I'm upset. He didn't start a chain of gossip at the office and talk about how everybody's mistreating him or how he was passed over for promotion. He didn't line up people on his side or tell the people at church. He didn't try to build a case for himself. He just went right to the Lord. Lord, help, he cried. And when you do that, you can do this last thing. You can let God reverse the situations in your life. For God says this in his word, that he has the power to help you overcome any circumstance, any circumstance. It says, we know that all things are working together for the good of those who love him. It doesn't say that all things are good, right? There's a lot of bad. Someone gets cancer, that's not good, that's bad. Someone gets raped, that's not good, that's bad. Someone gets verbally abused, that's not good, that's bad. And here's the kicker, they meant it for bad. There's some people in this world that do things on purpose. They do evil on purpose. But God's promise is that somehow, some way, he can take even that and change it around and work it for good. And we can either believe that verse in Scripture or you can cut it out. But just in general, when you cut out stuff from Scripture, it doesn't bode well for you, right? There's complications with that. And it says that God has a plan, and even the things that come into my life that victimize me, and then we're all victims to different degrees because there's all things that we can't control in this life. But the great news of the gospel is this, that he gives us the power to overcome those situations. We don't have to stay a victim in this world because he is working all things, even the bad things, out for our good. Do we believe that? Again, whenever you find yourself getting disappointed and frustrated in the moment, you've lost trust that God's still walking with you, that he's still got you. Perspective, he took them from the Red Sea and he's leading them. He's leading them along the way, which just leads us to the third thing. The great shortages in life are often followed by fullness. In verse 27, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs. And you think that's such a random thing to be one of your favorite verses in the Bible, but it is. I'll just explain Elim just a little bit. There were 70 palm springs, or palm trees in Elim. They had all the water that they could possibly ever want in Elim. 12 springs, 70 palm trees. It's kind of like they were in Palm Springs, except with water. It was incredible. It's a flat-out oasis in the middle of the desert. Sinai is miles and miles and miles and miles of barren nothingness. There's absolutely nothing there. Yet it says, then they came to Elim, and there was plenty of water for everybody. Again, even some shade, even some dates that were probably on the palm trees. There was stuff to eat, you know, all sorts of stuff. Okay, so God has taken them from the Red Sea, right? Where he did this incredible miracle. and he's taking them to Elim. Do we get that? He's taking them to Elim where all the water they need is there. It's a journey. It's a pit stop on the way to the promised land. He's taking them to Elim. They just got frustrated on the way. You ever been with kids on a long trip? Are we there yet? 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 I used to do youth trips. It was mind-numbing. So I'd always just say 45 minutes. I don't care if we just left or there was 2 minutes away. 45 minutes. 40, and then they stopped asking. It was brilliant. Okay, so here's my second question. The second question is this. How far is Elim from Mara? It's a great question, isn't it? God's taken us to Elim. He didn't tell us that, but he's taken us to Elim. How far is Elim from Mara? If you get out a map and you look at it, what you discover, and remember, they just left the Red Sea 3 days earlier. They were complaining about the bitter water, and then God gives them the solution of Elim. If you take out a map, Elim is 5 miles from Mara. It's just the next stop down the road. But they gave up too early. Elim was just around the corner with all the water they could ever want. But they gave up on God too early, and they started complaining. And they started getting mad at Moses that he wasn't doing enough. They started getting mad at God that he wasn't doing enough. But the lesson is simple. So often, we just give up too soon, don't we? We forget that God's promised, I will work all things for the good of those who love me. Do you trust that? And so God says, stop giving up too early. Trust me. Trust me that I've still got you. Trust me that I still love you. Trust me that I still see and know everything that's going on in your life. Stop giving up so early. The answer may just be 5 miles away. So the question is, how do you get from Mara to Elim? How do you get from the place of disappointment to the place of delight? How do you get from pain to paradise? The answer is you just keep on going. You keep on keeping on. You keep moving forward because you trust that God still got you in his hands. Fact is that God wants to work in your life if you let him. And so there are times where we have to face those feelings, face those fears, face yourself, face the experiences in the past and go through them. We have to go through our Maras sometimes in life. But part of the problem is that we get stuck in Mara. You need to go back sometimes and work through those things you do. You need to go through Mara. It's on the map, right? Satan makes sure of it. But then you need to go on to Elim. Don't get stuck there anymore. God never meant for you to stay in Mara. And some of you are saying, you don't know, Pastor. If you knew what I had been through, you just couldn't possibly understand. And I want to say this. I haven't experienced all the pain in the world. Thanks be to God for that. But I can't say nothing shocks me anymore. After 25 plus years in the ministry, I don't know if I've heard it all, but I've heard of a lot of stuff that nothing really surprises me. And I've seen things that you would have thought there's no way they can come out of that, right? That tailspin was too big. There's just no way they can get to the other side of that. And I've watched people do it again and again and again and again through God's power. His power not only can split the Red Sea, it can raise somebody from the dead. It can do anything because there's nothing that's impossible for God. God's call to us is just don't give up too early. And the reality is that some of you are in Mara right now. And I want to say you didn't miss God's call. Again, Mara is on the map. Satan absolutely makes sure of it. But God knows exactly where you are. And Romans 8:28 is for you. And he's leading you through this experience just as definitely as he left the Israelites through their experience in Mara. The reality is that the greatest successes in life are often followed by failure. And the greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. But the greatest shortages of life are often followed by fullness. And if you keep going, God's promise is Elim is just a few miles down the road. It's interesting to me, too, that God's solution to a bitter experience was a piece of wood. Why he chose it, I don't know. It was a miracle. But he said if you take this piece of wood and you throw it into the water, it will take that bitter water and it will make it sweet. So Moses did this simply as an act of obedience, and the piece of wood was used to turn that bitter experience into a sweet one. Approximately 2,000 years later, there was another piece of wood that God used. It was called the cross. But that piece of wood was used to turn your bitter experiences into sweet ones in your life. When Jesus hung on that cross, he was saying, I'm taking all the sin of the world upon myself. You talk about a victim, no sin, no reason to be there at all, and yet he voluntarily gave up his life so that he could take upon the sin of all the world, so that you could be set free, so that I could be set free. And that's the good news, and that's the gospel, right? That's what it's all about. And so this morning I want to introduce you to someone who will never, ever disappoint you. You may be disappointed in your father, or your mother, or your husband, or your wife, or your sisters, or your brothers, or your children. You may be disappointed in your pastor or in a teacher. You may be disappointed in all kinds of people because, to be honest, they're all imperfect. But there's one person that will never disappoint you. And he just calls upon you to trust him. And he calls upon you to run to his son. And let him give you rest for your souls. To run to Jesus so that he can give you comfort for your pain. To run to the one who loves you so that he can give you hope for your tomorrow. Come to him, he says. For the truth, my son, that's what's going to set you free. That's what's going to remind you that I've gotten you. That's what's going to remind you that you're forgiven and that I got a place for you. That's what's going to give you hope. So go with that hope this morning in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much. And boy, as we look at this world of ours right now, nothing seems like it's going according to plan. And yet we know that you still control all things, Lord. This feels very much like we got stuck in Mara along the way, and we pray, Lord, that we, as we keep going, that you'll take us to Elam. Father, it's not just true culturally, but we also pray in our lives too, Lord. There's stuff that we're just struggling with, and we feel like we've been struggling with it for a long time, and there doesn't seem to be answers on the horizon. We're getting more and more frustrated because we're losing hope in you. So this morning, remind us that you've still gotten us. Remind us that you care and that you see and that you know. Remind us that you're working all things for the good of those who love him. And Lord, we love you so much. Remind us that you're there. And Father, we pray that today because life is hard, but you are so good. Remind us in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,